Hello, welcome or welcome back to the International Law for Peace podcast. Today, I am not alone. I am joined with my class and two very, very special and inspiring gentlemen. I am joined with Bassam Aramin and Rami Elhanan. And if you would like to just introduce yourselves.
We belong to an organization called the Parents Circle, Families Forum, which was created back in 1994. It's joint Israelis and Palestinians who lost their beloved ones to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. We are more than 730 families today. The number is not huge, but our message is very strong because we want to prove that we can be partners. We can live together, and we have the moral authority to raise up our voice, to say nothing more important than our beloved ones. And we want to prove that we can live together on this land. Instead of to share it as two graves, we want to share it as two homelands for both people.
Thank you so much. So, Rami, would you like to add anything?
Well, he presented the organization instead of presenting himself. I will present myself and then I'll present him.
All right.
My name is Rami Elhanan. I'm 74 years old, graphic designer by profession, living in Jerusalem, born in Jerusalem, seventh generation, a Jew, an Israeli, and before anything else, a human being. 26 years ago, I lost my 14 years old daughter, Smadar, to a suicide bombing in Jerusalem, Hamas suicide bombing. And a year later, I joined this noble organization, the Parent Circle. And from that moment on, I devote my life to go everywhere possible, to talk to anyone possible, people who want to listen and people who will not listen, to convey this very basic message, which says we are not doomed. It is not our destination to keep on killing each other. And we can solve this problem by talking to each other. It will not stop unless we talk.
And in the 16th of January 2007, I lost my 10-year-old daughter, Avir, to an Israeli border police in front of her school. She was with her sister and two other girls, and 2 days later she passed away in Hadassah Hospital, where she born, and where Smadar, Rami's daughter, born and died. Between Abir and Smadar, it's 10 years. But we believe it's the same killer, our common enemy, who is responsible to take the lives of our daughters. It's the Israeli occupation. For that, we are together fighting the occupation and all means of violence. In order to prove that we can live in peace, we use the memory of our beloved ones to spread the message of peace, justice, and reconciliation instead of hatred and revenge.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your introduction. We also have another guest joined today with us. Would you also like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Martin Klangberg. I am the president of Jewish Call for Peace, the organization, a non-profit organization that invited Bassam and Rami. And we are a new organization. We exist for 2 years. And we were created with different aims. Clearly to support democratic values and international law, specifically in relation with Israel and Palestine conflict, but also here to let hear a different Jewish voice on this topic, because very often there are some confusion between Jews in the world and Israel and its policy. And I think it's very important to clarify this confusion.
Thank you so much. So I would say we would start with the questions that we have prepared for you as a class. As a class, we have also watched the movie The Narrow Bridge for Schools, and the questions are kind of based on the film. So the very first question I have for you, I know it's a question you have heard 100 times, 1,000 times, but have you ever asked yourself what it would be like if there had never been a conflict in the first place?
Frankly, no. We were born into this conflict. We carry it on our backs. We are being socialized into it. We are being educated on the light of it. And most of all, we are being brainwashed. We are talking about two societies at war. They need to prepare the young generation to be able to sacrifice themselves when time comes. And so the both sides are brainwashing the young ones in a way that makes it very, very difficult to look at the other side as human beings, because the whole thing is based on separation, on hiding the other side, demonizing the other side, and dehumanizing the other side.
Very well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to add anything?
Imagine if there is no conflict. How our life would look like. Very boring. There is no action. It's not a normal life. But to fight each other, to kill each other, to occupy each other, we make an action. It's life full of life. This is what we are fighting for, to end this conflict. So it will be no conflict anymore.
And hopefully one day it will come to an end.
It will.
No doubt.
In the film, you mentioned that it's important not to be pro-Palestine or pro-Israel, but to be pro-peace. Do you believe there's a possibility for peace between Palestine and Israel?
I'm certain that we will not go on killing each other forever. I'm certain that sooner or later, people will wake up and understand that it's not worth it. I'm certain, like the 73 war that I was a soldier in, ended up with a peace with Egypt, like the Irish people waited 800 years and they have peace now. They don't like each other, but they have peace. Like the Germans, the British, the French, who were killing each other by the millions, and they are in very good relations today. So I think the historical direction is inevitable. The only question is how long will it take, how many people will die.
You know, when we say don't be pro-Israelis or Palestinians, it means not to hide the other side, because the other side exists. But it doesn't say to be neutral. It means at the time there is injustice, and you are neutral, you are support the injustice. So we need you to be support the pro-justice, which is against injustice. Justice for the Palestinians means security for the Israelis. So you need to raise up your voice for the human values. You talk about democracy, dignity, social justice, freedom for everyone, not for one side against the other side. You just belong our conflict. But in this case, you must be very clear that you are against the occupation and against all means of violence, which is fair.
So, Bassam, when I watched the movie, I quoted something that you said. You said you feel that you're going to die from sadness. And I wanted to ask, were the people who took away your daughter ever known to you? Did you ever know who it was?
No.
No?
It's not a personal thing. He didn't come to kill my daughter because she's my daughter. For that, I consider him a victim. And I said, whenever he come to ask me to forgive him, always I will be there. But it's not because of himself at all. It's because of myself. Mm-hmm. Because I love my daughter very much. And because, in fact, I have another 5 kids. I don't want them to grow up as victims to this victim. Now, sadness, it's a human habit. Anger, it's very important. But how to use this sadness, how to use this anger for more hatred or revenge, or to try to build more bridge instead of more graves.
In 2007, if you received that information that you knew who took away the life of your daughter, do you think if you knew who they were that you would have gotten your revenge because your wound was so fresh?
The answer is no. Not because I'm a prophet. Mm-hmm. I'm a human being. And always I remember Jesus, alayhi salam, he said, God forgive them because they know not what they do. And I'll say, I'm not Jesus, I'm not Muhammad, I'm not a prophet. But they said it as human beings, not as God. No one claimed that he's a God. So I believe they want to teach us, as we are their followers, that you can forgive. When I say no, because I already was in a different place, for that directly I call him a victim. And the same day I said, I wish my daughter will be the last victim between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Simply, I am not a killer. I'm not going to solve the problem when I kill another 10 Jews or 15 or the rest of the Jewish on earth. It's nothing to do with your pain. It's 24 hours, forever, whatever happened. So always my brother said, luckily that we are human beings who can use our heads. You just create another victim. You will be a criminal by yourself, and you will invite the next victim from your side, because the other side will come to take revenge.
Very beautifully said. Thank you so much. And then for Rami, I also have another question for you, which I also quoted from the film. You said when you hit someone in the face, the automatic response is to hit them back. So when did you realize that you don't need to hit them back, but that you need to find another option?
Almost immediately. I mean, the pain is unbearable. And the anger eats you alive from within. And you need to find answers. What are you going to do with yourselves? And of course, the automatic response is hitting back. But then you understand that killing someone will not bring back your daughter. And causing pain to anyone will not ease your pain. The pain is there. It will be there forever. This is one wound that will never cure. So as a human being, as a thinker, you must find a way out of this trap of feelings and anger. And then you start to think, why did it happen? How could such a horrible thing take place? What can cause someone to be that angry and mad and desperate and hopeless that he's willing to blow himself up with 14 years old little girl? And then you start asking yourself questions. What caused him to do that? And you ask, you look at yourself inside. Do you have some kind of part in it? Some kind of responsibility? It's a process. It's a very difficult and painful process. In the end, you need to find answer. You start a journey towards the other side, toward the story of the other side, toward the music, the history, the food, the theater, the literature, everything. And then you are in another place.
I also remember in the movie you said that you pretended like everything was okay. You went back to work and you just continued on with your life, but that wasn't really you. You didn't feel like yourself. So I just really wanted to have an answer to that question. So thank you so much for answering it.
So another question that we have been asking ourselves is, how difficult is it to navigate the meetings since there is a language barrier, and are there often misunderstandings and discussions?
You know, in our case, the language, it's not the main barrier, the barrier inside our minds. The problem is to accept to meet the other side in the first place, if they speak or not speak, because we are in a total cut-off. We don't know each other. We know each other as enemies. And enemy in general have no human face. Until you meet your enemy in the human level to discover his humanity and his nobility, then it's another story. So as if you talk about an organization, we use both languages. We use Hebrew and Arabic, and we translate between each other. And I believe the bereaved parents all over the world, we have something in common. We have our own language. We can understand each other directly from all over the world, because it's happened to me. I was claimed that I know exactly what Rami feels because I know him 2 years before my tragedy. And always I want to ask him about Smadar sometimes. So I said, why I need to invest in more sadness? Maybe he forget. So I don't need to remind him. When it's happened to me, I understand that he never forget. He will never forget. It's part of, it's before and after our life. And I said to him, we just try to run from our pain to our pain. There is no other place. But I believe if you speak the language, of course, it's much better. And it's not only the language. It's the fear language. To understand exactly what the other feel, it's more than to speak the same words that he understand. Because we try to know the other side from both sides, then we understand the Palestinians wish to be free, how it's important for them. And for me to make a master degree about the Holocaust, for example, it was a big step for myself to understand this something called ongoing fear in the Jewish mentality all over the world, not only in Israel. And if you don't understand this part of their life, of their history, you will never understand when they talk about fear. So fear exists, it's there, it's reality. Now, if I accept it, of course, no, but it's there. So it makes a difference. If you know better, if you know more, you act much better. If you don't know, you don't know. So you need to know.
I want to ask you also, how do you feel about the demonstrations around the world since they are very pro-Palestine or pro-Israel, but not pro-peace specifically?
It's horrible. It's horrible because it became a competition of victimhood and pain. It became like a reality show on television where the whole world is sitting on the balcony, watches these two football teams fighting each other. And if you are a fan of one of the teams, you will despise the other team. And it's a zero-sum game. I mean, my win is your total loss and your win is my total loss. And this is really unacceptable because we don't want people to import our conflict to their society. Most of them couldn't care less. Most of them don't know anything. Most of the people who shout from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they don't know where the river is and where what sea it is. And the fact is that people like us, who paid the highest price possible, we can show a way that we can do it together. And the togetherness is essential for the success of this peace process between the two sides, because we will not go anywhere. The Palestinians will not throw the Jews to the sea, and the Israelis will not throw the Palestinians to the desert. We are doomed to live together on this holy land of ours, and it's up to us to decide whether we can share the land or share the graveyards under it.
So in fact, it's kind of a paradox. We call you not to be pro-Israelis and Palestinians. In the same time, we ask you to act, to do something. How? So you cannot now make a demonstration call for the Palestinians to stop the massacre, for example, because they are going through a genocide. You need to be against the killing. So it depends on the calls itself. They call for ceasefire. Of course, we need you to raise up your voice to stop this massacre right now. And again, we saw like demonstrations, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, Muslims, Jewish, together. This is what we're asking for. Why you cannot unite together to call for ceasefire, to call to end the occupation.
To stop the bloodshed.
To stop the bloodshed. This will be amazing. This is our point, that from outside, to be united against the occupation and against the violence and pro-justice for both sides. This is what we mean. But you need to act.
Thank you so much for your answers.
In your work for peace, what message do you hope to give to others who have experienced similar losses?
You don't have to be hungry to know the taste of food. And you don't need to lose a relative in order to decide to make peace. The price of peace is known. We can have one state, we can have two states, we can have 10,000 states, we can have a federation or confederation. Everybody knows what should be done in order to finish this stupid conflict tomorrow morning. And it is achievable. These are technical issues. One word is essential. Without it, nothing will happen. The word is respect. And you have to be able to respect the guy next to you exactly as you want to be respected. No more and no less. And once you achieve this, once you achieve a situation where you do not look down at your partner and your partner don't look up to you, and if you achieve equality, then all the rest are technicalities. You can have the Temple Mount for 2 hours, I will have the Wailing Wall for another 2 hours, and we will be able to share this land. Otherwise, we will go on killing each other.
Right, and then another question from my side. What role do you think personal stories and dialogues play in the peace-building efforts?
You know, we call it the magic of the personal story. We learn from each other, from our stories, and we are mirrors to each other. The good thing, when I talk about my own experience, my personal story, you cannot argue with me. This is my reality. This is my story. This is how I receive you, how my life experience. And you need to act accordingly. So in our case, I believe this, especially the story of bereavement. We are human beings. If you don't empathy with others, even with your enemy, you need to know that you lost your humanity. For that, we are talking about empathy in the personal level, not in the political level, but more important, the personal level, to understand my pain. You don't need to compare. You know, my daughter Abir and the rest of the world, all their pain, nothing like my pain. But I respect the other's pain. For that, they will be ready to listen to my pain. So it's very important. It builds trust and humanity between each other. Rami cannot talk about Smadar, and I make myself, I didn't hear him, because I have a daughter, exactly. So I need to understand his feeling. And to come together, this is what united us in the first place. It's our pain. In order to build a partnership, build on trust to achieve peace for our other kids. And it's connected with your question. Revenge, it's very easy. It's very easy to take revenge. But you go to take revenge for one person, you kill five, and the other side will kill 20 from your side. I believe we are killing our kids with our own hands without even taking responsibility. So we need to know that.
Some very strong words. Thank you.
Thank you. The power of storytelling is amazing. Maybe you cannot imagine it to yourself, but when we get together into an Israeli or a Palestinian high school class, they are not as polite and receptive as you are. The earth is shaking. It's like walking into the open mouth of an active volcano. The kids are very angry. There is a sea of blood between those two groups. For most of them, it's the first time ever in their life they meet and see Israeli and Palestinian, which are not fighting each other, which are calling each other brother, which are not putting their pain on the table, trying to compare whose pain is bigger, who started what, who's to blame. And this creates the earthquake. And the earthquake creates a crack in the wall of hatred and fear that divide those two societies. And through these cracks, a little light comes in, and a little light can drive away a lot of darkness. And as far as I'm concerned, even if in the end of the class there will be only one kid, Israeli or Palestinian, who nods his head with acceptance to this message, it's a miracle. We saved one drop of blood. In Judaism, one drop of blood is the whole world. And in fact, when we finish, they stand in line, wanting to shake our hands, asking more questions, showing interest. It's a very powerful process.
Thank you for your answer.
Looking for the future, what is your greatest hope for the next generation in Israel and Palestine?
We are working for, you know, we believe those new generations, they are the future itself. So we need to educate them. We need to encourage them to give up the victimhood mentality, to free themselves from the past, from the very painful past. And I believe if we educate them in the right way, they will lead us to another future, a future of peace. And we are fighting now together for those new generations because we don't want to be stuck for decades to continue the same oppression, the same occupation, the same miserable life in Palestine and Israel, for both in Israel and in Palestine.
So this is everything from our side, and we really want to thank you as a class for being here and sharing your personal stories. I would like to ask if you maybe have one or the other question for us that you may be interested in.
What is the role of religion between both of you?
Everyone?
Yeah, between both of you as a staff.
So
How you receive religion in your life?
So, for me, I am also a Muslim, and alhamdulillah, and religion does play a big role in my life, because how you have explained your side, and how you feel, and how you feel about hatred and revenge and everything, it is everything that Islam teaches us, to be not a hateful person, to be a good person. And you also mentioned that in your religion, that a drop of blood is like killing the whole humanity, and it's the same for us. And I do think that religion does play a big role in general, and how you learn how to move on with your actions, as for me.
Well, me myself, I was raised in a Christian household. I was told to follow the Bible. So by now, I did it so like till 2-3 years ago. then nowadays it's a bit more complicated because I have less time to focus on church. Well, not to focus on it, but to go to church. But I still count on the words of the Bible. So,
like the values.
Yes, right, the values.
We're a little bit shy. But I would also say in general, I think something that we are grateful for is that religion does not separate us. It doesn't make a conflict out of it. We can all work with each other. We all like each other. We don't have problems with each other. And
absolutely.
I think that is a very big step forward. And hopefully we get to see exactly that in Israel and Palestine, hopefully.
Inshallah.
And that is everything from our side. Once again, thank you so much. And if you would not like to add anything, would you?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you for having us. It's a really pleasure. I'm deeply impressed by your ability, your intelligence, and your professionalism in conducting this interview. And believe me, we've done some interviews in our lives. I would like to urge you not to stand aside, to do something with this power of yours, with this intelligence of yours. Again, as I said in the movie, don't stand aside, get out, don't be pro-Israeli, don't be pro-Palestinian, be pro-peace, against injustice, against this ongoing situation in which one people is dominating the other. And the most important thing is I'm a messer of a Jew, and I am a Jew with the utmost respect to my people and to my history and to my tradition. And I can tell you that ruling and oppressing and humiliating and occupying millions of people for so many years without any democratic right is not Jewish, period. There are no two ways about it. And being against it is not anti-Semitism. And if you get into an argument, you can quote me. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with him.
¶¶